Fill her up.
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the show. It's another episode of the How Awesome Is This podcast. I'm here with B. McKay on the other side of fucking the U.S. of A.
Yeah, dude, I'm over here at the half mansion of Bisbing's house, for believe you me. We're shooting a bunch over at the UFC gym yesterday. We're going to Ruka today.
Nice.
UFC gym again tomorrow. I've been getting my ass kicked. Dude, after sitting on your couch for a year, you don't realize how much you just lose.
Oh, yeah, dude. After the Matty Matheson episode, I went and ate a totally bunch of macaroni weak. And cheese.
Yeah.
Oh, dude, me too. And then I tried to walk up.
No upper body strength.
Dude, try to walk up like 6 flights of steps when the elevator is broke at this place. Oh, my God. I was like, all right, you know what? No more mac and cheese. I'm back to clean.
I quit smoking yesterday. Good. After we got off the mat, I was like, I'm never going to smoke another cigarette.
Good. Yeah. Yeah. Less is more, man. Moderation is key. Yeah. And listen, now that you're out there, you can pitch a Stone Cold remake starring Bisping. It would be great. Here's the plot. Bisping goes to America. He's a retired MMA fighter trying to restart his life. The local biker gang is like, look, this guy used to be an MMA. He's a badass. He needs money. We need an enforcer. We know he's trustworthy and we know he's down to throw down. Listen, I'll write the script right now. Tell Stone Cold, tell Bisping, we get the Stone Cold IP. We buy the rights from Bosworth and we say, listen, this is what's happening. But we give it like that dry English humor that he's so good at.
Yeah, for sure. He would listen to me pitch this for all of 1.5 seconds.
All right, listen, we got Howard Jones and Charlie Belmar. We watched the movie Stone Cold with Brian the Boz Bosworth. It is absolutely ridiculous, but it's, I think this
something else, dude. This movie is crazy.
Cocaine is a hell of a drug, and yeah. We're not supporting that, but listen, we do support indiemerchstore.com. Listen, you're going to feel like a merch addict when you go to indiemerchstore.com, because you want to buy everything from Cannibal Corpse to Amigo the Devil to Thy Art Is Murder to all the Unique Leader Records catalog. Check out that one, To the Grave. That shit was hard. I played that on the June Music Show on Patreon. They got their shit at indiemerchstore.com. Indiemerchstore.com, use the promo code JOSTA10 and you will save 10%. Or if you're looking for some streetwear, we got to support our other sponsor, Rebel 8. They make the dopest streetwear on the block, some of the best fitting clothes I own, some of the best, most comfortable items in my closet. Go to rebel8.com, use the promo code JJ20, and you will save 20%. This is the only podcast where you can save 20% at rebel8.com for the most iconic streetwear brand name on the block. JJ20 at checkout and give them a follow on Instagram, REBEL number 8. Tell them Josta sent you. What else do we got? Oh, BetterHelp. Check out BetterHelp.
Yeah. BetterHelp. BetterHelp therapy. In case you need to talk to somebody, you know, outside of your immediate social circle, probably
you
about
might,
people
you
in your
might
immediate
need,
social circle.
Yeah, you might need it after getting just berated by Bisping and Lewis all day long. Your self-esteem is down. You call BetterHelp. You're like, listen, they're giving me a hard time. They're saying I look like a mix between Dave Mustaine and Andrew WK. And you're like, wait, no, that wasn't them. That was Jossa, that motherfucker. All right, listen, go to BetterHelp.com, promo code Josta, and you'll save 10% off your first month. Also, martyrstore.net or indiemerchstore.com. Either or. You'll see we got the podcast shirts up at Indie Merch Store too.
Go to both. Buy a shirt. Buy a mug. Get a pre-order. Do it.
I love it. Do it, baby. All right. Check it out. Enjoy the show. And we'll be back after to sell some more stuff and plug some more stuff. And we appreciate you. Thank you.
How awesome. How awesome. How awesome is this podcast?
What's up, everyone? Welcome to the show. This is episode 10 of the How Awesome Is This podcast. I am joined by none other than Light the Torch and soon to be Bad Wolves frontman.
What?
If they, according to Twitter,
if they offer him several bags of cash, at,
what?
Like up. Hold on. No, we're just breaking your chop. I've been waiting to say that.
What? You cracking yourself?
What is that?
I've been waiting to say that all day. Oh my God. I had like 9 different ways I was going to do it. I was practicing it in the U-Haul because I'm fucking driving around in a U-Haul. And I was like, I'm joined by Howie Vex. All right. Sorry. You know, I love you. All right. Listen. And hey, listen, they would be lucky to get you if that was the case, if you didn't already have 17 projects waiting to come out with YouTubers, soil work members, me.
Yeah, there's a few other things brewing. I don't know what I'm doing, man.
Oh my God. I can only imagine the amount of people who were asked to be given your phone number this week.
This is so awkward.
Is it okay if I give Howard your number? Jesus. Oh wait, no. It's okay if you give Howard, you give me. All right. Anyways, I'm sorry. Okay. Howard Jones is here, Light the Torch front man. Man of mystery. Prestige.
Really?
80s and 90s film lover. Mr. Charlie Belmore, also in the house.
I didn't love this film, but I love a lot of films.
Such angry texts were coming.
Oh my God. There's so many questions, and we will get to, and Brian, of course, is here, and Brian has notes. You know him from Believe You Me podcast, the Josta show. What else, Brian?
I watched the movie this morning. I have so many questions. It was insane.
No questions were answered in this movie.
Zero questions. I only have more questions than when the movie started.
Baffling was the term that came to mind.
I like that. It's good.
The first 5 minutes are just hot nonsense.
I was hoping we could just play the first 5 minutes for people on the show. And so forth. I literally wrote that down. But like 5 minutes and 20 seconds into the movie, I was like, I have to stop writing things.
Yeah. I thought this is either a cinematic achievement never since achieved, or it's an experiment in speed, cocaine, barbiturates, and sex addiction.
It's everything. And it's every movie cliche all wrapped up in a bad haircut.
Yeah. And we're going to get to this. It's 1991's Stone Cold, starring Brian Bosworth, a street smart cop who goes undercover to infiltrate and bring justice to a ruthless motorcycle gang before they can carry out their plans of tyranny and murder. But really, I mean, out of all the iconic... But out of all the iconic mullets, I mean, this has to be top 10 of all time. And I don't know if Brian wants to, maybe before we see this trailer, if you want to just pull up a couple of these mullets, or just pull up Brian Bosworth's mullet for everyone.
The trailer is 3 minutes long. I feel like we should just watch the first 5 minutes of the movie.
Okay. All right. So no, here, let's do, okay. So let's do this. Yeah. Because it's on YouTube. Yeah. Let's watch the first 5 minutes of the movie. But while we're watching that, can you grab photos of, can I just tell you Howard's most iconic mullets? And then I'll tell you Charlie's, because they're like literally so close to in line with mine.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
So, yeah, they're very close.
That's so awesome.
Howard's Mount Rushmore of mullets. Well, Howard, you want to do your you want to do the honors by all means.
Oh no, go for it, because I don't remember what I typed or what order. I know who's on there. I just don't remember the order.
Okay, Patrick Swayze.
Yeah,
agreed. Riff Raff, who's like he's basically like the reinventor of it. He made it culturally significant again, right?
Oh yeah, he brought it back hard.
Billy Ray Cyrus.
Yep.
And Randy Johnson.
All right.
Here you go.
Charlie, you want to do yours?
Yeah. Yeah, I can do that. So we had, I have to look at it because I'll forget. So I had Billy Ray Cyrus. I had Full House, John Stamos.
Wow.
I had Martin Riggs, Mel Gibson.
That
and then awesome. I had the Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels.
Yes, Shawn Michaels.
When he was heel, when he went face, he got a better haircut. But when he was a bad guy, he had that shitty hair.
That might be all time top four for sure. I loved your list too, because mine, I went a little more modern. If it was going to be Mount Rushmore, I was going to do Riff Raff, Theo Vaughn, Randy Johnson, and then my, because Randy Johnson was like still not later 90s, right, or early 2000s, later 90s, early 2000s. Then I was going to do this Brian Bosworth from this, but now that you bring up, I mean, any of these others,
yeah,
seriously, like Mel Gibson in Lethal Weapon mullet is iconic.
Oh yeah. And Theo Vaughn, that was, he was definitely almost on the list. His is,
well, yeah, I almost had him too,
hand in hand.
Yeah, his and because he sells it, but it's still kind of ironic and funny, but it's dead serious. It's, how do you get that? How do you do that? Whereas with Riff Raff, it's just comical, but it's amazing. But yeah. Theo Vaughn, it's like, wait, no, this is for real, but this is also amazing.
The thing is, there was four. I think number five should have been 1980s WWF wrestling. Everyone had a sweetheart.
I started going through and I couldn't, and I was like, I'm going with the Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels, but so many of them.
I mean, it goes along with this theme song.
Also, if they were a tag team and had Express at the end of their name, they had mullets.
Yeah. You picked the best one for sure. And yeah. I thought, you know, You could say like Rihanna, you could say, because there's this one of Rihanna in a Pantera shirt and she's rocking the mullet. And I was like, damn, she like pulls it off.
Really?
Yeah. I don't know if Brian can find
and find everything
while we watch the trailer. I mean, I'll be happy with Swayze, Gibson, Theo, Shawn Michaels, if you could find four of the pictures, and then Rihanna would be a bonus. But any of those, if you find any of those pictures to show after this, are we really going to watch the first 5 minutes of the movie?
It's insane.
Yeah. I can't believe
I feel like we have to
see it again.
Okay. No, you know what? Can we just watch the trailer and not the first 5 minutes? Because I'll tell you right now, this is, when I watched this first 5 minutes of the movies, I just said, you know what? I want the gang Olympics. Just make it happen. It doesn't even have to be biker gang Olympics. I want games that are borderline murder and involuntary manslaughter with no sense. And it could be all different gangs. Like you could do, oh, you God. Could do just a gang Olympics where they gang all
Olympics.
I feel like the Chappelle Show is going to sue
Ladies
you just
and gentlemen, Brian Bosworth.
You know, all my life people have had the wrong idea about me.
I don't like cops who make up the rules as they go.
They say I push things just a little too far. They accuse me of being insensitive. They basically say that I lack the ability to get along with others. So just to prove these people wrong, I decided to join a very exclusive and private club. Oh yes, it's very plush. And the membership? very selective. And games, we play some games. A perfect place for me, wouldn't you think?
You just picked up the wrong passenger, buddy!
Was that a stunner?
Mr. Brian Bosworth requests the pleasure of your company. Stone Cold.
So that makes as much sense as the movie does, right? There's as much narrative in that, in that trailer that is in the movie.
Yeah, because they're saying, like, this character that you've seen in sports is now, like, they're kind of saying, like, he's going into movies, right? Because was he amazing at sports, or was he just kind of like mediocre, but he was a star?
He was a good linebacker, but he was more known because he had the cool hair. He was like a pre Dennis Rodman thing, where he was like big with the press because he was charismatic.
Okay.
Then he got hurt.
Yeah.
Right. And they were like, it's okay, dude. You can literally be an action star.
How do you look in these weird underwear?
He wrote that part into the script. He's like, listen.
100%.
I love the script, but I have two things. I need a fucking Gila monster, or I don't know. What the fuck was that thing? What was
it? He had a big monitor lizard.
Yeah, it was a monitor.
What did I call it?
That's such an 80s, like, we're going to have a dog, but it's not going to be a dog. Like,
yep.
Oh, what did he say? I wrote it down. Oh, you're going to have to eat some grub if you want to be a stud. That's what he told that monitor lizard.
During that whole scene, I was like, some poor child got eaten by several of these things in the woods walking home from school. And it's probably still like an unsolved mystery because some assholes bought these things after seeing this movie. And then they grew to that size and they were like, what are we going to do? And they're like, just put them out in the woods. And they just fucking.
That thing is huge.
Yeah. And I love how they fake us out. Like, we're all thinking like, oh, that's going to be his protein shake.
Oh, so I'm confused. The opening scene where a small militia robs a non-guarded grocery store. I don't understand. First off, I don't understand their lock whatsoever. Like, how are you making any cut? Like, there was like five of them there.
Like, there must have been tens of dollars in that store. Yeah,
like, they're breaking up $350.
Like, they were stoked on like $60.
Yeah,
so ridiculous.
But and was he on suspension walking through the grocery store with a sawed-off shotgun, just like just in case?
No, he stole it from the first guy.
Oh, okay. I was just like, what the fuck is happening? And just missed it.
I was so mad at the disrespect for so many good snacks and crackers that it took me out of it. I was like, you cannot do this. This right now in America, we can't waste these types of delicious snacks. This is so, people are starving. We're on fucking bread lines and I'm watching a movie where they're just, hopefully it was just prop boxes of Ritz, but dude, I wanted Ritz crap. I got like, I wanted the buttery goodness of a Ritz at that very moment while watching that scene so badly. And
or possibly a clubhouse cracker.
Yes. Oh yeah. Or like some sort of Toll House cookie. Or some, what was that coffee, that fucking mix? And it was like powder and it was basically like bougie hot cocoa, but it was like, hold on. Your mom would be like, hold on, I'm having
General Foods International Coffees.
Yeah. Pull that commercial up, Brian. Can we share that? Can we share the commercial?
The moments of your life.
celebrate the moments. Dude, you have to share that commercial right now. My mother would be like, guys, you have to leave. She'd tell my father, like, take them somewhere. I don't care. Take them anywhere. I'm having my girlfriends over and we're watching Dallas. Just get them out of here. And we'd be like, oh, Dallas again. And yes. Oh, my God.
Oh, my gosh.
What's this remind you of?
This was before HD.
Ooh, tastes like vanilla, huh? Senior trip. Paris.
Ooh.
Cafe, yeah.
Rich, creamy tasting coffee with a hint of vanilla flavor. Frank,
I love this coffee.
From General Foods International Coffees.
I love that beer. Sean
Luke. It's literally chemicals, powder, sugar, and I guarantee you there was coffee was not on the ingredient list.
No.
So, oh, I got these mullets.
Oh, thank you. I'm so excited for this.
So we got Bosworth.
Iconic.
Oh.
Two tone.
I think this one is Shawn Michaels.
Did yes,
it is.
Look at it.
Glorious.
I mean, that's a fucking mullet right there.
Dude, he looks like he just stepped out of a salon. Theo's great.
There's
too.
Rihanna's mullet.
Oh, there she is.
Wow.
Oh yeah, that's impressive. The sways.
Oh.
Yes, Randy Johnson.
Oh, I gotta find Stamos and Riff Raff. Hold on.
Dude, this is already my favorite podcast I've ever done.
think of what Ryan just said. I gotta find Stamos and Riff Raff. What an amazing phrase.
Stamos had probably the most reach.
Oh,
right?
Wow. I'm not even gonna pull up a specific one. Let's just look at the wall of Stamos.
Wow. Oh my God.
Oh my God.
What was the kid? What was the guy from 21 Wait, Jump Street?
I put in mullets. So mullets is also tagged in this search.
And one Charlie Sheen in Hot Shots.
That's a really good one too. But I was going to say, what was the guy from 21 Jump Street who was probably also pitched this film, but they were like, no, we need the blonde like football guy because he's going to have more reach and he'll be like Arnold, but it's more believable because he's not as built. Right. So he can relate to more of the everyman with his accent and he's got that middle America. Right. Like I can only almost imagining the marketing.
Richard Grieco. Yeah. Whoever just said that, Richard Grieco.
Talking about this guy.
No, that's Dom DeLuise's kid. Oh wait, maybe Richard Grieco wasn't on 21 Jump Street. Was he?
No, I feel like he was on the TV show.
I don't know, but back to the movie. I'll tell you this much: a child being held hostage. First of all, this child never heard anything ever again after a shotgun was going off in her ear with the braces. That's just shoot me at that point. If you're gonna explode both of my eardrums while I'm hostage,
and did you notice anytime anyone got punched or shot? The way they flew through the air, it was
oh my God,
amazing. It was that, like this concussive force just took them over.
That dude that got knocked through the display in the supermarket after he got punched in the chest was like wild. He flew like 40 feet.
It was wild.
Yeah, because this was back in the day when fake martial arts was everywhere. When you would hear about these guys who had dojos, they were like, oh, they'll show you the dim mock, but it's like $99 a class. And they'll show you like the energy. What's the 1-inch punch and all this stuff. And they would have like demonstrations and the guys would be like flying back. Like they're like the guys like in that Seagal video where he's
the one from Russia.
Yeah. Yes.
Yep.
Dillman is the dude's name that you're thinking of, I think. George Dillman.
George Dillman is the guy from the movie. Oh yeah, was this the guy who said he could do the punch and you would fly back, and then the guy, and then it didn't happen, and the guy was like, oh, and he was like, oh, it's because he had his tongue like in the side of his mouth or something, like that was the way to, that was like the secret way to stop it.
That's insane.
But this was at a time before Google and all that, when as kids we just believed that this was possible, like oh yeah, you're just going to, you know, lift this guy over your head and break his back. They're like, we need to do that to several people in this film.
Yeah, there was a lot of overhead presses going on.
Yeah. And so when they get out, so I love the cleanup on aisle four line. I was like, I always try to think of a better.
They wrote that whole 5-minute sketch for that one line. They really did. Yeah.
And his delivery was not great.
I will say another amazing movie opens with a grocery store and it's called Cobra, and that is light years beyond this as far as the opening scene.
Agreed. We will do Cobra for How Awesome Is This Podcast at some point when we get to
doing Cobra.
Oh, we have to. And dude, we're 1 degree away from Sylvester now, so what? I bet you it's very possible that we could get Sly himself to like sneak in on the podcast for like a split second, like a hello.
That would be amazing. Dude, or can we get his brother?
Frank. Frank Stallone. Get him on the podcast, dude.
Sly's good for a minute. Frank's good for an hour.
Yes. Hey, listen, Frank could have been I'm not kidding you, he could have been on the level of like Tony Bennett or any of those guys, like if he had the right team and the right label. Mm-hmm. He could have completely, you would be surprised if you heard Frank Stallone sing like lounge, you know.
Well, I've heard him before. It's just because he's very good. It's just because he's Stallone's brother that that's why he can't go any farther, because it's like, and then what's his name? Norm MacDonald killed him in the 90s there on the news on SNL.
Oh yes, I forgot about that.
Yeah, he had a couple good targets back then. It was like Frank Stallone and Michael Jackson. He would never leave those dudes alone.
Yes. Holy shit, I totally forgot about that. But yeah, if he had a different name or sang under like a stage name and no one knew, he probably would have went.
There is no far. Way you don't know that he's Sylvester Stallone's brother.
Yeah. It looks like him now. It looks like Stallone now.
Watch. Let's check it out. Let's see. Wait, he does Rocky songs?
Yeah, he wrote a song in Rocky.
Oh, yeah.
Come on, dude.
All right, storytellers. Let's go.
Dude, it's got some chops. All right, we got to get back to this movie, but I really appreciate that because
there was dinners being served.
There sure was.
And they better have been steaks. All right, listen.
What?
I had a thought and I lost it. I was going to... It was so close. Oh, I just want to talk about drag races that drag people, because
what is that?
I rewound that and I'm like, there's no way in any world. I don't care if you're wearing one of those sumo suits. There's no way this is a good, fun game.
No.
Ever.
No. Well, that was them trying to show how crazy they were.
Yeah.
It
was like this rolling Sturgis.
Yeah.
seriously. I was like, wait, so that takes all your skin off and gives you like horrific burns. Even if those are stuntmen and they're wearing protective gear, that's still not fun.
Yeah, that sucks.
Yeah, and then shooting at each other.
The Uzi was absolutely bananas.
One of the first things I wrote, he shot a can off a guy's shoulder with an Uzi. What world am I in?
And no other bullets. No other bullets hit. Just one.
And the car behind him exploded.
What?
This, again, one of the greatest cinematic achievements, probably. I mean, there's so many things that are so American about this movie. If you made this biker gang from Europe or any, it just wouldn't work.
No.
This is so uniquely American. And the fact that they need him to be some sort of undercover cop and that he gets like within literally hours, he's trusted and 24 hours. No,
I don't even think it was 24 hours. Feels like it was almost immediate.
Yeah, I feel like it was like later this afternoon and he showed up
with the insane editing. We'll never know.
Yeah,
actually a 3-year jump between that first scene and that second scene.
I wrote down that like every 9 to 10 minutes, there is a shot of people walking or riding into a scene to like generic cool guy music. And it literally it happened constantly. Like the first couple minutes I kept writing it. And then I'm like, holy fuck, it's not stopping. Like the whole movie, like how could you keep doing this? The movie's not progressing. We're just watching these scenes of people looking cool.
Seriously, Fat Forsyth was so well cast in this.
Oh yeah, he was awesome.
Did he gain weight for this role, or was he just like that then?
Oh, I think he was just heavy back then.
He was.
I think so.
Okay.
He was amazing.
He should have won an Oscar.
or something.
Howard, you met him with us, right? Or was it were you with us when we met him? And I've met him a couple times. Like when we edited Live Dominance, he was in the other editing bay editing a film he was working on, and I talked to him for a little bit.
That wasn't it.
And I didn't want to say, like, you know, hey, you're that guy from that movie or whatever. I was trying to be super respectful because I know that people go up to him and go, hey, thin dick, right? What was that movie where he's like, I got a thin dick. It's super long. It's like fucking 12 inches long, but it's like a pencil. What movie was that?
I do not know.
It's some movie. It's like an Adam Sandler movie, or I don't know, some comedy movie where he's like, I got a thin dick. It's so fucking long. It's like a pencil. But at the conventions, like when he signs, I don't think he sells the photo from that film because of that line and that character. But
he
I'm
would
sure
make so much money if he did,
right? But I guarantee you that him as the character in this movie,
it's Deuce.
I don't care if it was $1,000 at Comic-Con. I want that 8x10. It's so good. And then also we met him at, I think, Rock and Shock with, I think it was, I was with Randy. Hey everyone, it's Jamie and Brian letting you know today's episode is brought to you by Yo Delta, the makers of Delta 8. Everybody's talking about Delta 8 because it gets you that lift that you don't get from just standard CBD. Brian
knows. It sure
does. You know firsthand.
Yeah, man. Delta 8 kicks your ass. Like, it's definitely not a CBD pen for sure.
Yeah, but it has that that other quality, which, you know, listen, if you got an addictive personality, this is not your thing. Avoid. But if you can handle a couple puffs and you're not going to freak out and be looking through the blinds or acting like you just did, what's that stuff? Salvia? This is not that. This is Delta 8, all right?
This is some real deal. This is way better.
Tell them what the offer is.
So the deal is if you go to yodelta.com and you use promo code GAS, you're going to get 25% off. That's crazy.
Damn, 25% off.
My drug dealers don't give me 25% off for anything.
Delta, but Yo Delta will. That's yodelta.com. Use the promo code GAS. Now back to the show. Bosworth built some of the bikes that are in this film. Did you read that?
No.
No.
Yeah, I guess he previously built the bike that his character rides in the film. And they said, yeah, just ride that because he was more comfortable with it. Because he's really riding the motorcycle in a bunch of scenes.
100%. Yeah.
He almost eats shit in that first scene when they're peeling away. Like you see the speed wobbles on the way out. I was like, that is so funny. His like legs are dragging. It's...
Yes, and Lance Hendrickson wrote all of his lines for every scene.
So wait, he wrote, I need a new bitch?
Yes.
That's so funny.
That is amazing. And by the way, he was the king of the maniacal villain laugh all the time.
Yes.
He has the best line in the movie, by the way, at the end.
What's that?
It's exactly what my dad said. Don't, son. That gun is loaded.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's dark. Listen, you know, we have to get a director's cut of this, and we have to try to get a hold of Brian Bosworth.
Because a director's cut?
Did you know
footage that they left somewhere?
Oh, dude. Do you know that there was 4 weeks spent with Bosworth's character and his family, wife, child, and sister, which in the end were completely axed out of the movie after $4 million?
Jesus.
What?
Dude, I was like, please tell me they just took like a Punisher storyline and that these guys like killed his wife, mother, and sister. And this was going to be a revenge story. And they were like, we can't do that. That's already been done in every movie. Let's make it so that he infiltrates the gang.
Wow.
Jesus Christ.
Yes. And I don't know if you know this, but there was another director attached and they fired him because personal issues, probably, aka like everyone in this movie was doing speed, cocaine, barbiturates, steroids. There were strippers everywhere. Like it was this movie. There's so many tits in this movie.
Did you guys know there was a sequel to this called Back in Business?
Yes. I saw the poster.
Wait, what?
With Brian. With Boz.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
His same character. Way.
No.
I think we all need to agree. We cannot watch that.
No. No. So this guy, his name was Bruce Malmuth. He was fired. And then they brought in Craig R. Baxley, who has made two other amazing films we should do for this podcast. Okay. Action Jackson.
Yeah.
Yes.
Incredible.
Absolutely.
And I Come in Peace.
Wow.
I don't know that one.
An entire movie that was based on, in the trailer, the line, I come in peace and you go in pieces. Dolph Lundgren. Can you pull that? This was literally you could. Yeah, this is the pitch. Here's the pitch. They're like, you have 30 seconds. Go. Aliens come to Earth and fight Dolph Lundgren. And the biggest line that we use in the trailer is, I come in peace and you go in pieces. I saw this in the theater in Hamden, Connecticut.
Houston, wow. Texas. It's Christmas. Someone special is coming to town. And it's not Santa Claus.
Oh, no.
Jack Kane, a cop who does things his own way.
What are you doing? The shortcut.
He's sensitive, understanding, and kind to strangers.
Merry Christmas.
But all that's about to end.
I'm coming, peace. Three well-armed men have their throats cut before they can even draw their weapons. Who could possibly move that fast?
Aliens.
Say what?
Are you crazy?
It's true!
You need a psychiatrist, Jack.
Your psycho stole a lot of heroin to kill people with.
What are you gonna do? Tell him we're fighting drug dealers from outer space, huh? The human body carries a small electrical charge, right? You tune the disc to the charge and then...
What?
What the hell is going on here?
As far as you're concerned, this case is closed. What?
This is literally the entire movie. Here we go. Ready? Here we go.
Bad day.
What?
What?
I come in peace.
I come in peace.
Dolph Lundgren.
And you go in pieces.
Yes! Sold. I need the Blu-ray. I need the director's cut. I need the merch. I want to do a remake where we see an older Dolph and he gets visited again. And he's like, not again.
Who designed that coat? It's in every 80s movie.
Yeah, dude, I'm pretty sure he wore that coat in Master of the Universe too.
And in Stone Cold, he was wearing it in the grocery. Yeah.
Oh no, you don't understand. Everything from this movie was Craig R. Baxley had already done in that other movie. So, like, you saw the guy getting hit and flying. You saw the guy getting dragged. Like, I love it. We talked about this with Commando. I think it was like that's like their breakdown. Like that we use in a song. We're like, it's like, yo, we got to have a breakdown. They're like, really? You had fucking 98,000 breakdowns already. Fuck it. Put another one in there. Right.
That was amazing. Yeah. Those explosions were really similar. And the dudes flying. Do we have to watch that?
Yo, it's another cinematic feat. We have to somehow get a hold of Craig R. Baxley. There's got to be a director's cut of this because they made so many edits to this film because it was just going to be NC-17 or X rated. And they had to make so many edits to get it to be an R rated film.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
Dude, and also the meal Brian Bosworth makes the Nile monitor lizard is not at all suitable for the animal. Reptiles cannot digest citrus fruit,
I'm sure, dairy,
or chocolate. And technically, potatoes and bananas wouldn't be bad for the monitor, but fried food, the potato chips, would not be good. And Nile monitors are carnivores, so only the eggs would be appropriate for it. People who keep Nile monitors as pets would be feeding it pre-killed mice, rats, rabbits, baby chickens, parts of full-grown chickens, ground turkey, ground beef, fish, and they keep other animals that they might even feed them, ones that died of natural causes as well.
So not only did Brian Bosworth kill a motorcycle gang, but he also killed his lizard?
They should have had a disclaimer: no lizards were hurt in the filming of 1991 Stone Cold Classic.
They probably accidentally killed four of them.
That's what I'm saying. I don't think it worked like that in 91.
Yeah.
This.
Yeah, Jake the Snake went through some snakes.
Definitely. The gang's president, right, Lance? That's Lance Henderson's character.
Yep.
He's just so satisfied with Brian Bosworth, like, instantly. He's like ready to patch him in with, and I think that had to be done in the script so that you had the tension between him and William Forsythe's character, whose name escapes me, but I started naming everybody Ice. That's it. Yeah. Because there was Gut, right? Was there Snot? Was Snot one of them, or was I just calling one of them Snot?
No, I don't think there was a Snot. I remember Gut. I remember Vitamin.
The head dude was Chains.
Chains.
Wasn't one of them Mud something?
Mudfish.
Yeah.
Mudfish.
Which was something else, and they had to change it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there was some stuff going on in here that I was like, all right, Gut was Gut learning disabled?
I feel like we can stretch that question along to most of the cast.
Yeah.
And the people that wrote this.
I'm sorry. I meant disadvantaged. I don't want to offend anybody. Yeah. That shit was funny because he's like, yeah, let me make friends with this guy. Like, this guy breaks up a fight and he's like, hey, why don't you come to the rally? Like, in what world does this happen?
It was so bad.
I felt so bad for him. I was like, he just needs a friend. His whole life, he was just longing connection. I wanted a whole Gut backstory, you know, like Gut was like beaten by his alcoholic father. He was the last kid picked on the team at the school, you know, in dodgeball. Then, you know, they took his lunch money. They dunked his head in the toilet. And now he's like, I'll get back at you. I'll join the gang. And then I'll get these guys to come kick all of your asses. But then those guys just bully him. And then they fuck with him. Then he's like, I got to get this other guy in. But maybe he was just a genius. And he's like, I've been bullied my whole life, and now I'm going to just flip the game over for everybody. I'm going to get this undercover cop in to fucking arrest everybody.
I'll show them that nobody messes with Gut.
I definitely was like, what was the line? God forgives, the brotherhood doesn't. I was like, oh, man.
Yeah, it was a rough one.
Like, nobody in the Brotherhood wore shirts. Like, everybody just had a vest and bare chest.
They gave him a real shit deal to join. They were like, here, you can either die or, like,
be
the man. I mean...
Yeah, that whole part, and he's like, yeah, sure, I'm in. Like, he's just like, yeah, why not? I'm in. And I was thinking... Is this universe that they're in, could he be like the illegitimate father of Jax Teller? Like, could this be the prequel to Sons of Anarchy? Like, Boz could we tie this together in some sort of universe? And maybe can we get Kurt Sutter like in the podcast and be like, hey, was this any sort of inspiration?
And he would probably tell us to go fuck ourselves.
Yeah.
He'd be like, you booked me on your show for this.
You? Were you inspired by the movie Stone Cold?
I was hoping. Oh, God. There's just, I don't even know. I don't even know where to go with this movie because it's.
Oh,
I remember.
I have a suggestion. So here, I'm going to pull up a picture. Can we talk about how this chick was going to die for $400? And he just was like, oh, yeah, no, here you go.
Why did she say
$400? It's $400. It wasn't like 10 grand. You know what I mean?
No idea.
Why didn't she say no, 4,000 or something? Because the bag looked like it had way more.
That's what I was waiting for.
Must have been in singles or quarters.
Yeah.
That was so weird. And then the Italian guys. Who just looks at a severed head on the table and is like, eh.
and no one in the restaurant saw it. No one else freaked out.
It's just Tuesday. It's fine.
Yeah, and what did what did they use to seal the bottom of it?
It was an empty helmet until they opened it.
What about the cheap ripoff of the line from Paradise Lost? What does he say? He's like, better to be first in hell than second in hell.
Yeah, that's how he says it in the movie.
Yeah. Yeah. That delivery was, that left me wanting.
That, I was like, he literally wrote that on the spot. Then I Googled that and it said, Lance Hendrickson wrote every line of his character on the spot for this.
You know that he read the script and he was like, no, I'm not doing these lines. We'll figure it out.
He ad-libbed everything. That's amazing.
Everybody else was it like trying to be in Point Break, and he was like, he was in Best in Show. Like he was just improvising the whole movie.
And he did a pretty good job, if you ask me.
Oh yeah. I mean, he's just a good actor. He killed it.
Are we up to the military guys yet?
Oh my God. This is a whole
nother. I have many questions.
I wanted to talk about the band Cryer. Cryer.
Like John Cryer?
Is this a real band? Did they go on? Was it members of other real bands? Like, I was trying to look. I paused it. I'm like, wait, is this, could it be like one guy from Slaughter, one guy mm-hmm. from Britney Fox?
Yeah.
Is it a super group?
Like everything.
It sounded like Van Halen, like a Van Halen track that just never made it.
Yeah, sang by the guy from Rat, but the drummer from Britney Fox. Like, there's Steelheart's bass player was over there. It was amazing.
And the same song, I guess, is used in a Steven Seagal movie. They had an in with music supervisors or something.
It's the Black Alpaca of the 90s.
It's Cheryl Crow. Cheryl Crow was the first song, which I was shocked. I was like, that voice sounds familiar. And I looked it up and it's fucking Cheryl Crow in the intro.
Oh, wow.
Oh,
yeah,
they blew
all their money on the soundtrack for sure.
Oh, dude. The soundtrack, explosions, ammo.
Recognize. Who's the guy who, got arrested or got taken away, where they, you know, just, they hoped he died. Was he a Latino guy? But anyway, he came in towards the end. He was like, hey, what's up? I'm back. You know, just, he didn't die or whatever. I can't.
Oh, yeah. The guy that they snatched and sent away. Like he wasn't going to call
that guy. Yeah. Yeah. Do you recognize him? That dude was in Bloodsport.
Oh. Come on.
Yeah. He was one of the fighters.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah. He was the guy that fought like this.
That part of the storyline was like to show that, oh, Boz is a good guy. Like he's not a murderer like these bikers. He's going to let this guy go.
Until the end.
Yeah. Why? Yeah. Get out of town and don't ever come back. Who does that? But of course it's like in the writer's room, they're like, it's got to work for the plot line. So this guy comes back at the end. But the best, we glossed over one of the best parts of the entire film, which is for no reason at a bris or a christening. I don't know what it was, but let's just shoot the priest for no reason.
I'm like, what did I miss?
And then when the judge gives him 45 years, which was lenient for the crime, they're like, let's blow up the judge.
Yeah. And then they're like, oh, and then at the end, they're like, oh, we're going to sentence him. It's 45 years. And then it's like, oh, no, we're going to give him the death penalty now. And you're like, what the fuck? Why is there a second sentence just because the judge died? There's not a second sentencing because the judge died. And also, his legal name is in trouble. Would call him trouble in court. That's not his legal name.
You don't know. I actually almost changed my name to Danger one day just on a dare. So
no.
Oh yeah. I filled out the paperwork and everything.
Oh my God. Thank God you didn't do this. Well,
tell me about it.
Today's episode of How Awesome Is This is brought to you by IndieMerchStore.com. That is right. They are killing the game right now with all your metal merch needs. And you can save 10% off when you use my code JOSTA10 at checkout. Have you checked out Unique Leader Records, Brian?
I have, Jamie. Unique Leader Records has a bunch of dope shit on it, doesn't it?
Ingested to the Grave.
Yeah.
Fucking Vulvodynia, your favorite.
That sounds like you need a cream for it.
Imagine you're at the diner. The waitress comes up, or the waiter, and they're like, hey, guys, you in a band? Yo, you guys look cool. Yeah. What do you play? And they're like, Vulvodynia. Like, excuse me? Vulvodynia. Or do you just do the Dying Fetus thing where they would just say, oh, we're in the Red Steps, because they got tired of telling people.
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
Just got to make something up.
But Vulvodynia is hard, and you can, yo, that shit slams.
Yeah,
and you can get their, you can get their merch and their records over at IndieMerchStore.com. Use a promo code JOSTA10. Now back to the show. I read reviews for this film, like in the Washington Post from 1991, like on microfiche. I need this on Laserdisc. I need this. I need the soundtrack on vinyl.
Keep one other question though. When Ice died, you know, just they give the chain, he died, and you know, says his line, and you know, says his line to Bosworth, dies, and they give him that, the just like the Viking funeral. How did they get his body?
Yes.
Why do you not explain this? You had a completely burned man on a motorcycle. How did you pull this off? No explanation.
Also, there was like a replacement Ice immediately.
Like, the guy, like, from the beginning, right? That throws the knife?
Yeah, and the next scene, it's just like, oh, he looks exactly the same, just standing in the background. It's fine.
Yeah. They're like, hey, we got to really show the reality. It's a dog eat dog world. Like, if you're if you're not up for it, there's somebody ready to take your place.
The new Ice.
One of my favorite parts was when his like chick finds out the, like, you know, he's got, there's something going on and he has another name, and she's like, why do I have information that your name is actually this? And his way to this like, you know, amazing cop just goes, so what? I got a few names. That's what he said.
It's so funny. So
the funny. Worst defense ever. So what? I got a few names.
Oh, yeah, that sounds good. Let's get and one, like, of those Dixie beers and you can shoot it off my shoulder.
What is it?
It's just the easiest explanation for everything.
I wish it would have been so much better if Gut just said, hey, man, thanks a lot. Thanks for helping us out. You want to come to the Gang Olympics? Dude, there's so many good games that could be had at the Gang Olympics. Like, I was thinking, like, instead of your water drop, what do you call that, like where you throw, like you have the water but you have crocodiles in it, and then you shoot a bazooka at the target, and then if you hit the target, the guy falls into like the alligator pit. Like, I was thinking of all different for the biker Olympics or the Gang Olympics or whatever. I was like, this is, we could go, I mean,
oh, you could have a blast with that, man.
Artistic uses of meth.
Yeah, like, just like, I thought of this one game where you could just tie a rope around everybody's ankle and then just let off like a hot air balloon, and just like, and like, you gotta like try to untie yourself before it gets to a certain height.
Like, you got 20 feet before everybody's dead.
Yeah.
Except for Brian Bosworth, because at the end of the movie, he survived a conservatively 45-foot fall.
That is fair.
And just got up, just didn't even limp, just got right up, landed on his face, got right up.
But what about the timing of this and us watching this and the last scene?
When those motorcycles went through, I literally said, this is complete bullshit. Well,
that's what
I
where they stormed the state capitol, there had to have been someone who was like, it kind of worked in Stone Cold back in 1991. Like,
also, I didn't, for some, like, I like, they're like, we have to get our boy out. We have to get trouble. And then when that guy on the helicopter, which I don't know why they would bring like Stone with them. If he's
where?
Like,
did shit. They get a helicopter? Where did they get a helicopter?
They get a helicopter. And then the guy's like, first we get trouble, then we get to White House. And you're like, the White, what, the White House? This was a rescue movie. We're doing the White House now.
Yes, what the fuck?
Just, that dude had his own plan. He was like Che Guevara-ing himself, you know?
Yes. He was so ambitious.
I want to know how they were going to use those motorcycles to get to that helicopter. Because,
well, you saw how they got out of the Capitol building, right? I would imagine the same way. Just like a dude on the back with an Uzi blowing shit up in front of him. Doors and cars.
That entire thing was fucking insane. It was just... First off, to go back, he didn't seem to really be all that broken up when, like, the chick dies. They shoot the chick, and he's like, no! And, like, 1 second, that's it. It's over. And then they're just, that entire scene, like, even Lance Hendrickson didn't seem to really give a shit that Trouble, the entire reason they were there, dies in the biggest explosion I've ever seen from a motorcycle.
It was huge.
Nobody reacted. That was the whole point. The whole point of the movie was to get him. And everybody was like, and they just kept going.
Everyone grieves differently, man. Ryan Bosworth wrote Harley Davidson Super Glide. If we have any motorcycle enthusiasts listening. And Tom McGee, I guess, is the ex-power lifter who he fights for the initiation ritual,
Pillman.
Oh, you thought it was?
I thought it was Brian Pillman when I was watching it first.
That would have been awesome.
Well, I was happy that it was a power lifter type guy because this started off. Like, I feel like the UFC took a little bit of a page from this, right? Because when did UFC... I remember going and trying to get the UFC on VHS a few years after this came out. And, you know, when you're kids and you're talking to people like, oh, this guy would kick this guy's ass. And then you realize, like, well, no, if a power lifter is slow, he's going to have, like, less punching power, you know, after a certain amount of time. He's going to gas quicker. And so... They showed that with Boz, right? Like he kind of gets the best of the Boz first, and then he comes back. It's like, oh shit, Boz got the cardio. He hits him with the spear. Does he spear him?
No, he flying clotheslines that man.
Yes.
The stunt coordinator in this film should have got an Oscar.
Oh, Ken Rumley makes a good point. We did not talk about the fact that he jumps a semi.
Oh my God. There's no motocross. This movie is like the Kevin Bacon of all things extreme sports. There's a connection with this film.
Kevin Bacon.
Right?
I back that one.
Why didn't his career just take off after this? Why didn't someone get him better vehicles? Like, he's way better than Seagal. He's like, to me, he's more marketable than Seagal.
Yeah,
but is Seagal's a better actor?
I think,
God, no,
because this didn't it feels like this just died on the vine, so people walked out and were like, that sucked, so they didn't want to get another one, you know?
Yeah, it's a rough watch.
Well, like, you, I mean, compare this to Under Siege, and you understand why Seagal had a moving career. You know what I mean?
Under Siege was dope.
Yeah.
And also, what's the one where he has, like, the environmentalist angle and stuff?
Seagal?
Is he a Native American or whatever?
Sometimes.
I can't remember that.
He kind of shifts. He does what he does.
He's either Japanese or Native American, but I guess it depends on the day.
Yeah, I can't remember. What is that movie called?
I don't know, but it was incredible.
It's right on the tip of my tongue.
It was so good.
Ground.
Yes. Was it?
On Deadly Ground.
There it is.
On Deadly Ground.
Thank you.
He's an environmental agent who works for the Aegis Oil Company.
I think that was his last, like, decent one.
And his name is... And his name is Forrest Taft. His name is Forrest. Fuck you. Fuck that movie. Fuck you, assholes.
Stone Cold has 1.5 stars on Rotten Tomatoes.
That is generous.
It grossed $8.2 million. It does not say...
How much did it cost?
Oh my God! This had to have lost
$75 in gasoline, mostly.
Wow! We got to find out what type of loss this movie.
I'll look that up. But can we talk about how when they killed the military, they locked the military dudes in boxes just to shoot them. Then, when they deliver them, the other military guys check their pulse.
Yeah.
Like they're in a box, shot.
Yeah, it was
all dead.
Dude, was that like they're like, don't worry, we're gonna send them off to this secret program where they'll be well, they'll be reinvented for Universal Soldier 7. Dude, that's it. I'm doing a Universal Soldier movie after this. Oh, I don't give a fuck.
So On Deadly Ground cost $50 million to make and made $38.6 million in the box.
Oh, that's On Deadly Ground, not Stone Cold.
Oh, right. Sorry.
Okay, yeah, but so that was like the last of that. That was probably the tail end for Seagal when then he just literally started to just do straight to VHS.
Oh, yeah.
25 mil Stone Cold cost and it made 9.
Oof.
Okay, so that's why there was no other like big wide releases that with him as the star vehicle. But he could have been. I felt like if you put another really good actor like William Forsythe or Lance Hendrickson to carry the weight of the script or whatever, or do like Lance and just make up your own fucking script the whole time. I felt like Brian could have had, like, if it was now where you could go direct to streaming or something, it probably would have done better. But back then, I think there was more gatekeepers and stuff. And maybe, I don't know, where were all the Sooners fans? Where you motherfuckers fill up like stadiums with 200,000 fucking people. You couldn't go to help the Boz?
Yeah, that dude box was a office? God back then.
So did Bosworth also write all of his own lines? Just. Because at the end of the movie, Angels Don't Die is probably the cheesiest line in the whole shit.
Yeah. Dude,
that's literally Howard's next album title when he's singing for Bad Wolves.
What?
Angels Don't Die. And it's like, and I can already tell in the video, like your Doc is playing like a double neck sort of guitar and I can hear the radio ad. I can hear the radio ad right now. The new album from Bad Wolves, the band that brought you zombie. But here's the thing. You need to cover somebody who just died or is about to die. So you have to have like the same timing.
Oh, so at the end of the movie, I was all excited because Lance Hendrickson seems so nuts. I'm like, this fight will be fun. One punch.
He died so fast.
He just punches him once in the face, and that's it. The entire fight.
Yeah, not done. He was just done. He was just done. It bummed me out.
When he picks him up and just fucking mushes him against the wall?
Yeah, and then fucking FBI agent just executes him.
They must have been out of money at this point. They were like, get it done.
That was supposed to be like
just punch him once. It'll be fine.
Inspiring thing where it's like, oh, look, the guy who was a wimp the whole movie just grew his balls. But it's like, yeah, that's a federal agent just murdering somebody randomly.
Actually. Well, you know, they were like, you know, when you watch Die Hard, the whole movie goes by and you hear that, that Reginald Vell Johnson can't raise his gun. And at the end of the movie, he's going to shoot and he'll be a hero. But he was already in custody. He just shoots the guy. It's way different.
They had the underhooks on him and everything. Like, he wasn't going anywhere.
So you're talking about Sam McMurray's character, the Sam McMurray character?
Yeah, the FBI guy, yeah.
Yeah, and was there any point where Lance did something really fucked up to him throughout the movie?
They had not met.
No.
He just executes him.
Yeah. First time they met.
Maybe no backstory.
$4 million worth of cuts. I don't know.
I think so. Seriously.
There was a whole bunch of cuts where Lance Hendrickson just tortured that guy.
Yeah. He did not go for the leg or anything.
Well, he stole his car and killed his dog. So.
But it was just,
well,
I was just like, I was bummed because I'm like, oh, we're going to see a big fight. And then Lance Hendrickson opens the door and then he just punches him once. He crawls for his gun. He punches him once more and then kind of threatens to kill him and then doesn't. And he just falls down the stairs. And I was like,
and that crawl took a real long time.
Yeah. And that's the crawl that a hero does. And the villain stalks, not the other way around.
Not in the '80s, man. It was a different time. They're talking about just murdering people on the streets. All sorts of, it's fucking wild, dude.
They go right to murder in this, no problem. Like, he's like, hey, that's what I do, you know? I mean, and I gotta say, exactly. And I gotta say, right as I got out of the theater, because we saw this as a matinee, we got out of the theater. And I said, where is the nearest piercing pagoda? Because I must get, and I don't know if you can zoom in on this, Brian, to show the Boz's, it's like a gem with like it's got a cap on it. It's like a stalactite looking earring. And then I will send you my photo of my earring that I got shortly after the filming of this movie, or the viewing of this movie, rather. Let's see if he can find the bosses.
And am I the only one that felt that he was a dead ringer for WWE's Randy Orton?
Yeah, just like way bigger.
Yeah. They look almost identical, like their jawline and everything. It's creepy.
Yeah, I hadn't thought of that.
That is true.
Yeah, he does look like him. You're right. His earring, I'm trying to blow it up on here. I felt like there was probably a discussion of like, let's have him have like a brow piercing, but they're like, we can't do that. That's just too hardcore. I mean, he's hardcore, but he's not that hardcore. They're like, all right, what about a nose piercing? They're like, we can't do that either. He's hardcore, but you know, he's too. All right, what about some tattoos or whatever?
Settle on this.
What? Oh my. Okay.
That's a brave choice.
Charlie, I'm getting you one that's just like that, that says Chaz, and you have to wear it. You have to wear it.
Get that.
You have to wear it on stage.
I will pierce my ears if you get it.
With D. Snyder. With D. Snyder on stage. And I sent Brian the picture. I had to crop it. Hopefully it's big.
It's
probably
my email, right?
Yeah, it's probably too low res to share, or it's gonna show up like really small, but you'll get the gist of the boss's influence after the viewing of this film. It's not Citizen Kane, okay? It's not The Godfather. It's not Goodfellas. But it was fun. It was completely baffling, completely ridiculous.
Yes.
And I'm gonna give it a 6 out of 10.
Jesus.
Howard.
Ooh, I mean, it had its entertaining moments, but this was difficult in one sitting.
I did two sittings. I couldn't do it.
It was rough. I'm gonna give it a 3.
I'd give it a 5 just for some of the wacky, like I need a new bitch and you know what? I got a couple names. Like that's good enough for me.
Yeah.
Holy That's amazing.
Yeah, dude. There you go.
Oh, Jesus. Oh, I need to read. I think we all watched it on YouTube because it was free there. And I found a comment that was amazing. And it just says, I miss these times when men were men and women were women.
There was one. I was looking up reviews and there was one that just said, dog shit.
It was actually a Spinal word. It was a Spinal Tap 2-word review.
So hard to watch this.
What there was in the Washington Post review, it was like, I forget what it was, something really bad. It was like Brian Bosworth couldn't act his way through the Seattle Seahawks front line. I don't know. So like there was everybody tried to have some sort of tie-in with his football career.
I will give him credit. You could tell that he wanted to really do it, but I think everybody told him like, oh, just, you know how you act when you do that, whatever, that commercial, or when you do that, just do it like that. And it'll totally work because you're so charismatic. And he ended up like believing his own hype, you know, because you could tell that he was trying at a lot of points. Like he was trying to take it seriously. It felt, but it was just, you know, wacky.
Yeah. And that's what I was saying in the text. I'm like, they're trying really hard in this movie.
Well, because they wanted to make a star. They were like, we can, Arnold's, you know, who knows if Arnold's going to keep going. We got to make a new one. You know, if we're on board, we can make a giant movie. We'll all be together for a couple, you know, and they were trying really hard.
Yeah, this is going to be a franchise. You don't understand. We're going to have Stone Cold 2, Stone Cold 3. They did. Stone Cold 2, Biker Boogaloo, or whatever. I don't know. on movie database, it says $17 million budget. So if you take out the $4 million they wasted shooting the family of the Boz's character that made it on the cutting room floor, which will hopefully be in the director's cut, maybe then it was $17 million.
There's more of this movie.
Yeah.
But John Stone is an American hero.
Yeah.
He's apparently an American murderer because he did a lot of that.
Yeah, at the very end, he just walked away. No one said a word.
There wasn't even paperwork to fill out.
No, nothing. Not even, do you want a ride? He was just like, I don't know.
You need to talk about it? Nothing.
I'm going to decompress on the walk. I'm just going to nope.
It's like, can we get a steak later? We'll get a steak later. All right, cool.
Listen, I already said my cool line. I got to go. That was it.
He didn't get the Razzie for this. He got a nomination, but he didn't win. That, I guess, Vanilla Ice got the Razzie year for Cool as Ice.
Well, that's fair. That is fair. 91 was not a good year for movies.
There were some doozies.
That's not on the list.
Neither is Hudson Hawk.
Oh, yeah, that's a musical, man. That one just hurts.
Imagine the assistant director telling Craig R. Baxley, like, we got to have, like, look, Arnold shows his ass. JCVD shows his ass. And the director's like, Seagal never shows his ass. You're never going to see Seagal's cheeks. And they're like, come on, man. And he's like, we can't do that to Boz. They're like, he's a sex symbol. Come on. The girls are going to go see this movie. You got to show his ass. They're like, no. All right. Boz makes the compromise. He's like, I'll show you the banana hammock front, but the back is going to be full piece. Like, so if the cheeks were disappointing, at least you got a little bit of the front, you know?
Yeah. Can we get a picture? Brian, can you get a picture of him with those underwear? Those are amazing. That's distracting.
he definitely should have had a sponsorship from, I don't know. Yeah. Or were these like Euro? They kind of looked a little Euro to me.
Yeah, it was a weird cut, man.
It sure is.
It was so high on the thigh.
Oh my God.
Hold on. We got the other side too.
Because, you know, when he turned around, I was like, if this is thong underwear, I'm done. I'm turning this movie off.
I thought the exact same thing.
Yeah.
What are those?
Well, guys, I appreciate you being on the show, and I appreciate you sitting through this film. And shout out to, who do we got in here? All right, we got Ryan. Who's still with us listening to us blither on about Bosworth's fucking underwear? Ryan Levson, shout out to Ryan. Andy Wilson, what's up, Andy? Tony Gomez, Brian Underkoffler, Single YD, Ken Brumley, still here. If you guys got a question, you want to unmute your mic. If you got a question for Charlie Howard, Brian, or myself, or if you got a comment about the film, speak now or serve in heaven, or I don't know. What was one of these?
Be second in heaven.
Yeah, be second in heaven. First in hell. Speak now or be first in hell or second in heaven. He's like, it's good enough. Leave it. They're like, can you do one more take, Lance, and just get it a little closer? He's like, it's fine.
No.
I think we're good. Everybody's like, no, don't make us talk about this movie on the mic. unless Brian's got to unmute you, or can they unmute themselves?
Yeah, they should all be able to unmute themselves.
Yeah, well, if you have any suggestions for the next episode, I'm just going to go ahead and say Cobra, but I mean, we still didn't do Lionheart. We still didn't do Cyborg.
That's true.
Hmm.
Oh, I'm kind of enjoying bouncing around like this.
Okay. I mean, I'll do I Come in Peace. And just to give Craig R. Baxley a shout out, and hopefully we can get him on the show. Because, dude, Dolph Lundgren, come on, bro.
With an alien shooting killer frisbees? Okay.
Yes. Yes, because think about all the odds were stacked against him. They're like, dude, you're Drago. You can't do this. And he's like, I can do this. I can be a leading man. They're like, bro, you're Drago. Everybody thinks you're Drago. But he did it. All right, it wasn't great, but I got to give him.
Too.
Yeah.
89. And He-Man.
Yeah.
All yeah, right, well.
Is that what we're doing? Are we doing
Masters of the Universe?
No, we are not doing Masters of the Universe. I cannot sit through that again. I've tried. I think if it's between Cobra and I Come in Peace is like, it's a sleeper. I'm not going to say hit because I don't think it was a hit by any stretch.
But Cobra is Cobra.
All right, fine. Cobra it is.
All right.
And we'll hit up Lorenzo and we'll be like, listen, man, you tell us when you're going to be at Sly's house. We'll send you the Zoom. And just get us like a, hey, everybody, Spy like, games. Like say it's your mom and like, don't show the phone and just say like, hey, everybody wave. And dude, there's gotta be a way we can get Sly on there.
Gotta do it.
Gotta do it.
and
we probably get Frank pretty easy.
I'll hit up Frank. He, I think he did follow me back on Instagram. So I
might be on right now. What?
Frank's in your talking Patreon, to Frank. Dude.
You're talking to Frank right now. Dude, I'll produce a record for Frank. I'll get lounge musicians right now. I totally would. Count no problem.
In. I am in.
I'll write the shit out of some lounge music. Dude, what? On a separate note, and we can edit this out. Didn't I tell you about the ghost bus?
Few moments later.
Anyways, we had to get rid of that bus, but edit this all out.
I'm going to leave in the part where you say, did we talk about the ghost bus? And then I'm going to come right back to you going, anyway, we got to get rid of that bus.
Yes. And then just put like edit. All right. Thank you, guys. I'm going to bed. I got to get up at 4 a.m. I got carpal tunnel. I'm a mess. But next week, Cobra, I can't wait. And I'll see you then. Thanks, everybody.
Produced by Brian McKay. Executive producers Jake Olszewski, Ben Lee, AJ Lewis, Garrett Keeping, Adam Amico, Dan Smith, Nick Torito, JJ Hernandez, Joe Bartovic, Jason Jarvis, Chris Larice, Alex Smolin, Vivek Pawar, Todd McKee, John Blewett, Bill Gussler, Let's Talk Resident Evil, Jesse DeGruy, Richard Miller, Kyle Marg, Nate Leffingwell, Josh Lipinski, Morgan Costner, Mark Tagg, Zapagor Waikato, Niall Scholard, Kathy D'Ambrosio, Justin Steven, Jack Flanders, the Pit Commander, Andy Wilson, Jeffrey Kuhn, Kimo Humalamaki, Jonathan Metis, Brandon Cooper, Matthew Hall, Matthew Jankowskis, Jason Rary, Jamie Kutcher, Brian Undercoughlin, Lee Walker, Matthew Thompson, Matt West, Ryan Maurice, Chad Green, Dustin Stone, Dallas Hendricks, Jacob Arensberg, Kenneth Moore, Kona Butterflies, Stephen Helm, Richard McIntosh, Josh Morin, Jeremy Jordan, Jeff Stevenson.
All right, everybody. Hope you enjoyed the episode of How Awesome Is This? Brian Boz, your favorite.
What an actor. Did he win best picture for this?
Dude, he won a Bronze Globe. No, what is it? He didn't win. He won an Oscar Mayer for this. Yeah. Not an Oscar. Just a sad hot dog. No ketchup. Shout out to you. Listen, if you enjoyed today's show and you want other episodes of How Awesome Is This, you can subscribe at GasDigitalNetwork.com and use the promo code JASTA. We still got that free trial?
Yeah, 7-day free trial. You check it out. See if you like it. Look at all of the bonus content that you have. We got like thousands of hours of just JASTA show stuff. So go check that out. And then stick around for the 20 plus other shows that we got on the network.
Hell yeah. We got Rob Flynn on the network still?
We got Rob Flynn on the network. We got Jesse Leach on the network. We got Legion of Skanks. We got Believe You Me with Michael Bisping. We got Dave Smith's Part of the Problem. We got
The Bye Guys.
Bye Guys. We got Godfrey. We got so many shows on the network. It's crazy. Just check it out.
GasDigitalNetwork.com. Use promo code JASTA so they know JASTA sent you. Or if you want to check out my Patreon and get a bunch of other bonus content, or you want to sit in on these podcasts as we record them live, patreon.com/JASTA. And of course, if you just want to donate, if you don't want a subscription, you just want to give me $20 and you want a care package, I will send it to you if you're in the USA at Jamie JASTA on Venmo if you appreciate the content, or $ Jamie JASTA on Cash App or paypal.me/JASTA. JASTA, again, anything over $20 gets you a care package from yours truly and a shout out. Any amount gets you a shout out for any donation. Big thanks to Rebel 8. Go to rebel8.com. Use a promo code JJ20. Big thanks to indiemerchstore.com. Use the promo code JASTA10. And last but certainly not least, Father's Day is coming up. So if you want
the Stone Cold mullet, and you want the geez, look at that wig. It's terrible. Dude. It's not a wig, but it looks like a wig. if you're watching this on YouTube, like, subscribe, hit the bell. And big thanks to Cameo. Go to cameo.com/Josta for your Father's Day cameo needs or your band's shout out or whatever. You need a pep talk. What else would you get on Cameo? Birthday shout out, graduations. Are graduations done?
No, I fucking don't know, man. I haven't been in school in like 15 years.
I got my GED, so I didn't even get a graduation.
Oh, yeah. I didn't even go. I graduated. I just never went.
You were smoking that Delta 8 out back, and they were like, you missed the graduation, dog.
Fuck it.
Yo, Delta.com, promo code GAS. I think that's it. I think we covered everything. Martyrstore.net. MARTYRSTORE.net. And have a great weekend, everybody. UFC head-to-heads. You can challenge me. Jostin 1997.
This weekend's going to be wild.
Adesanya.
All three. The three five-round fights.
Gets a finish, right? I like Vittori. I think he's great.
But I think Marvin could beat him.
I think he could, too, if he gets those takedowns and keeps him down. But I think Adesanya's gonna finish him. I think he's gonna finish him round two. You want to call it right now?
Yeah, I think Vittori wins by decision.
Wow, and new?
Yeah.
What? All right, you heard it. You heard it, folks. We will be back.
Yeah, I think he's gonna wrestle fuck him for more rounds than Israel Adesanya would like.
Lay and pray. Is that what they call that? Lay and pray. Yeah. Wear him like a blanket, or Adesanya's going to wear him like a blanket.
Yeah, a wet one.
The old GSP, I like to call that.
Yeah, dude, it's going to be it's going to be great. All three of the five round fights are sick.
Did I just say the name you're not supposed to say over at that place where you're hanging out?
No, you're good. Everybody's friends here.
All right, good. All right, everybody. Thank you for watching. We'll be back next week. Bye-bye.